Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bibles as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight we're in the fourth lesson in this series on heaven, our real home, talking about heaven and everything. Well, maybe not everything, but a lot of the things that have to do with the idea of heaven, how we're going to experience heaven, how we get to heaven, how we can prepare to heaven, prepare for heaven, all those kind of things. And tonight our title is Heavenly Bodies. Heavenly Bodies. I want to start off with a story about a lady who is teaching her Sunday school class of children. And she wants to talk to them, or she is talking to them about heaven and how you get there. She says, if I sold my house and my car, had a big garage sale, and gave all the money to the church, would I get into heaven? And the children had already received some pretty good instruction. They said, no! And she went on and she said, well, if I cleaned the church every day and mowed the lawn and kept everything neat and tidy, would I get into heaven? All the kids said, no! She says, well, then how do I get into heaven? And one of her little boys popped up and he says, you gotta be dead! Now, that wasn't the answer she was looking for. Looking for the fact you have to have faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and not be dependent on your own good works. But the little boy had a point. Okay? Except for the one exception that when Jesus Christ comes back for us and he takes us up to be with him while we're still alive and we're transformed in the air, to get to heaven, you got to be dead. All right? Maybe it's a good thing to talk about it in a way that we can laugh a little bit, because that's a topic that we don't like to talk about. And each of us has had loved ones, family members, friends who have gone on before us. And that's one of the reasons we're so excited about this topic of heaven, is that those who've known Jesus Christ, we will see them again. And as wonderful of a relationship as we've had here, we will probably have an even better and more wonderful relationship with them there. And it will certainly last a lot longer. And that's one of the topics we're going to be dealing with in the future, is our relationships in heaven. What will they be like? We've already talked about the fact that God through Jesus and through Paul have kind of compared heaven to home. So there must be something that's similar between home and heaven. And we delved into that topic a little bit. We talked about how heaven is called God's dwelling place. That's where he manifests his presence in a very special way, where we are going to be with him after this life. We also talked about the fact that eventually heaven, wherever it is, will eventually end up on earth. The Bible talks about that the New Jerusalem, which is the center of God's existence, not God's existence, but God's heaven, will come to earth. And his presence will be right here on earth. That's where he will manifest his presence to meet with his people. And last week we talked about the king on his throne. Starting next week, we're going to talk about what are we going to be doing in heaven. You know, the first answer probably is worship. And that's going to be the first thing we're going to deal with. But there's so much more the Bible tells us that will be part of our experience in heaven. And I personally believe that there's so much that we can't even begin to imagine, that's not even revealed in God's word, that's going to be a part of our experience of heaven. We're going to talk about that the next couple of weeks. We'll talk about what will we remember, will we learn in heaven, what our relationships will be like. A topic, could history repeat itself? You know, God made the world perfect and sin still intruded. Will it be possible for sin to intrude once we get to heaven? And why or why not? We're going to talk about how we will stand before God to give an account for what we've done with this life and how that will impact our experience of heaven, treasures in heaven, and how we can prepare for heaven. So all those things are coming up as we continue this study from week to week. So this whole idea of heavenly bodies, and the fact that except for when Jesus comes back for his people, whenever that might be, whether it's tonight or 1,000 years from now, we don't know. We have to go through that doorway. And that's what death is. It's a doorway. It's not the ending of an existence. It's not, as some people believe, just falling asleep. And we'll talk about why we believe that tonight. But it is a doorway to the life after this life. Ecclesiastes 8:8 says, no man, and that includes women too, no man has power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death. Okay? Let me ask you a question. Why is it that death is feared by so many people? Why is it that people don't like to talk about it? Okay. A lot of people do not know or they're not sure of what's beyond death. Now, for people that aren't believers in particular, when I didn't make that distinction, it's like if this life is all there is, it's like they want to keep death at bay and don't want to think about it. Just, you know, live life to the fullest, put off death as far as you possibly can. For those who aren't believers but believe there's something beyond this, there's that, well, what is beyond this? You know, but even for believers sometimes, they're hesitant to talk about death or even kind of fear it a little bit. So what are some other reasons why people might fear death or be hesitant to talk about it? Pearl, because they don't know how they're going to die. You know, that's the biggest thing I think for believers. It's not that we don't want to go to heaven. We're not so sure about the process of getting there. You know, and it's not so much that we're afraid of leaving this life to go to the next. It's what are we going to have to go through? I don't want to dig deeply into it and take a lot of time, but I'm sure all of us thought, what is the worst way that you would want to die? And we may have different ones, but it's like, well, I wouldn't want to be burned up in a fire. I wouldn't want to drown. I wouldn't, whatever it is, you know, we may have different ones, but it's like, that's the kind of things that we fear. Not so much the death, perhaps, or what's happening on the other side, but what we've got to go through to get there. Yeah. Yeah. All these are very, very good answers. The Bible makes it clear that death or the rapture, what I talked about before, when Jesus comes back for his people, is the doorway to heaven. But physical death is just a fact of human experience. Unless we're alive, when Jesus comes back, every single one of us will die. And some of us are closer to death than others. And that doesn't have anything to do with age. Well, it has some to do with age, but it's not totally dependent on age. Death could take any one of us at any time for any number of reasons. We can die in great health, a very, very old age. We can die of disease that we're aware of or that we're totally unaware of. You know, you hear about people that discover they have cancer. They're given 6 months to live and they live 6 months and that's it. And they have the privilege of maybe doing more to prepare. And then you hear about people that just dropped dead of a heart attack, didn't even know they had heart problems. That's almost what happened to Sonia a couple weeks ago, you know. Car accidents or any other kind of accidents, there's no way that we can know. Now, that doesn't mean we should just go through life with a happy-go-lucky, carefree attitude and walk in front of cars and stuff. We should take, you know, care of ourselves, be safe, you know, take good care of our bodies. They are the temples of the Holy Spirit. But death is just a fact of human experience. And there's a lot of different ways that we could end up going. But one of our biggest questions about heaven, to tie this all together, is what will we be like after death? What will we be like after death? And we're going to talk tonight more about the physical side of it. And in lessons to come, we'll talk about the emotional side, the intellectual side, the relational side. And so we're going to talk mostly about the physical side, that is heavenly bodies. Okay, heavenly bodies. Now, let me just say that there are two misconceptions that are out there, and I've got them somewhere else in my notes, but I just feel like I need to interject it here. Two wrong ideas about what happens to us after we die. Number one, we don't become angels. If you're not already an angel, you're not going to become one. No, seriously. You know, there's this idea that when we die, we become angels, you know, and I see it on Facebook and hear people say, well, you know, somebody dies. Well, heaven's gained another angel. No, they haven't. You think, well, where do people get that idea? Because the Bible makes it very clear that angels are a totally different type of created being than we are. But I think where people get it is that somebody asked Jesus the question one day, you know, they were trying to trip Jesus up and they didn't believe in life after this life. And so they were trying to prove that even the Bible makes it impossible to believe in that. They said, you know, there's this tradition, this principle in God's word that, you know, a guy marries a lady and he dies and they don't have any kids. And so his brother is to marry her and have kids in his name. And, you know, they did the whole story of, you know, one brother died, then another. And there's seven brothers in all that died without children. And he says, who's going to be who are they going to be married to in heaven? And to be honest with you, that's not the most important question I'd ask. The most important question I'd ask would be, what has she been feeding those guys that they all died? But anyway, you know, the question, and Jesus said, you misunderstand. When we get to that type of existence, I'm paraphrasing here, that type of existence, we're going to be like the angels in heaven, that there will be no marriage, you know. But he didn't say we're going to be angels. He just says that's one way we're going to be like angels. They don't marry And in the same way, when we get there, we're not going to marry. But he didn't say we're going to be angels. Okay, so we're not going to be angels. And then the other thing is we're not going to be ghosts. All right? And that's a whole other topic, is that what is it that causes the phenomenon that people call ghosts and all that kind of stuff? And we're not going to dig into that. But we don't become ghosts. All right? So let's talk about our heavenly bodies. And we've got a couple of truths here. Most of them, well, all of them are based on Scripture. Some are more firm than others. But the first one is this. Our heavenly bodies will be obtained at the resurrection of the dead. Our heavenly bodies. The heavenly body that God has planned for you and for me, we will obtain that at the resurrection of the dead. Let me read two verses or two passages that deal with that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. All right, so these two verses, and there are others, mention that we will receive a resurrected body. When is this? When is this? These two verses talking about? It'll happen all in a moment, yes, but when is that moment? At the rapture, when the trumpet sounds. And when is that going to happen? When Jesus comes back. Now, there's differences of opinion as to when that's going to be and how that's going to be, but Scripture is clear that Jesus will come back. The differences of opinion is it going to be at the beginning of the tribulation, the middle of the tribulation, and we're not going to dig into that. But I'm just saying, the Bible is clear that when Jesus comes back, a trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will be raised, and whoever are believers and are alive at that time, their bodies will be transformed without dying. That's when we get our resurrection body. Marguerite, you had a comment or a question?
Yeah.
That's where we're headed. So if we don't get our resurrected bodies, our eternal glorified bodies, until the resurrection, until Jesus comes back, what happens to us in between if we die? What happens? What has happened to our loved ones, in particular those who have had a relationship with God? If their body, if they don't have their glorified bodies yet, what has happened to them? And that brings up this question: what is the nature of our existence between our death and our resurrection? Now, because several places in the Bible, death is referred to as sleep. Okay? In fact, even in it's not part of the part I read. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul is writing, he says, I don't want you to be worried about those who have fallen asleep. Okay, and other places it talks about those who have fallen asleep. Because that word is used, it's a euphemism, which means a softer word used for dying. I mean, you got death, you got dying, but people say they passed away. They've fallen asleep. And everybody knows they're talking about they died, all right? But it's a euphemism, but it's talking about death. It's not saying that they're literally asleep in some sense. Not physical sleep, but some kind of soul sleep. You've heard that perhaps. There are people who believe in this thing called soul sleep. And, you know, even Jesus said when Lazarus died and they sent for him and said, come, your friend, your love, the one you love, is sick, close to death. And he deliberately waited till he died. And he told his disciples, let's go now. And, they said, well, if you go, they're going to arrest you because it was hostile territory. And he says, and he talks about how, well, you know, Lazarus is going to be fine. He's fallen asleep or something like that. And so if he's fallen asleep, he's probably getting better. I said, no, he died, you know. And so it's talking about death. But because those terms are used, there are those who have developed this whole idea of, well, you know, when we die, we basically kind of cease to exist in any real conscious way. And then when there's the resurrection, we'll come back. But the Bible contradicts that. Or I should say, the Bible doesn't teach that. All right. And we're going to see that here in these subpoints, why we believe that even though we don't have our resurrected body yet, we still are conscious. In fact, that is letter A there. We will be conscious. We will be conscious. There's a number of ways that we can know that to be true from the Word of God. Jesus told a parable in Luke 16. We're not going to read it at this point anyway. Luke 16:19. In fact, many people believe it's not just a parable, that it's an actual story about two very real people. It's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, not the same Lazarus Jesus rose from the dead, or raised from the dead. This is another Lazarus. Remember the rich man, and then Lazarus was a beggar at the gate, and the rich man had all the good things, and he was a beggar and had sores, and the dogs would lick his sores, and he begged for crumbs from the table. They died, and it says the rich man is in hell, and the Lazarus is in paradise, called Abraham's bosom, you know, that kind of thing. And the rich man says, you know, Father Abraham sent Lazarus over here to give me some water, blah, 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 blah. Well, here's the thing. The reason I say that some people think that may be an actual real story rather than just a parable, because there are no other parables where Jesus actually named anybody. And since Jesus actually gave Lazarus a name, they're saying this may actually be a true story. Or it may be the only time that we have recorded that he gave somebody a name in a parable. So it's either way. But the point is that in this teaching, it's obvious that these people that have died, they are conscious. The rich man is conscious in hell, and he is in conscious torment. And Lazarus is conscious in paradise, or what they call Abraham's bosom, and he is conscious of comfort. All right, so there is consciousness there. We see evidences of it, the fact that they're talking, they see, they speak, they hear, they feel, they remember. Because the rich man remembers back. He says, oh, send him back to talk to my brothers, you know. And all those are definitely evidences of consciousness. So when we die, even though we do not yet have our resurrected glorious bodies, we will still be conscious. Letter B, and this is the most comforting, and I think the most exciting, is that we will be with Jesus. Now, that is assuming, all right, that you have a relationship with Jesus now, all right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. So if we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we will be with Jesus. And we will be with Jesus immediately. Immediately when we leave this world. Not just later on down the road. Paul wrote about this a couple of times in 2 Corinthians 5:8. He says, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Saying, you know, if I'm not in my body, that means I'm with Jesus. When I leave this body, I'll be with Jesus. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. He says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Again, Paul making very clear that when he leaves this life, he will be in the presence of Jesus. I think we can say with full, complete confidence that when our loved ones go from this world and they knew Jesus Christ, they are with him. Okay? They are with him. And then letter C, and this is a probably, this is not a definitely, we will probably have some physical form. In other words, we won't have our resurrected bodies yet, but we probably will not just be spirits existing in heaven or wherever. That kind of brings the idea of the ghost, but not just because we don't believe we're going to be ghosts. I think there's evidence in Scripture that we will have some kind of physical form. Can anybody think of any reasons that we would determine from Scripture as to why we would probably have some kind of physical form even before we have our resurrected bodies? John? Mm-hmm. Yes. There's kind of an, huh? Yes. There's kind of an odd Scripture, and we won't dig into what that was all about. An odd Scripture, I think it's at the end of Matthew, if I remember. After the resurrection of Jesus, it said that there were some people that were raised up out of the grave. They were recognizable. Of course, then you could say, but that's because they were raised. But still, they, you know, there was that. But yet there was a prophet, right? Yeah. Elijah, when he met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. But then you could say, well, he was taken up live to heaven, and so he still has the original body he had. But the guy that also showed up with him was Moses, right? Moses did die. The Bible says Moses died. But when he met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, he did have a physical, some kind of physical form. But go back to the story we just talked about, that Jesus talked about the rich man and Lazarus. All right? They had some kind of physical form, and it was recognizable, and it had senses, because it said that they saw, they talked, they felt, you know, that kind of thing. Not only that, but when you read through Revelation, and we've done that in weeks past, and you see scenes in heaven, there are people in heaven, and they are described as having some kind of physical form, right? And it talks about them doing certain things that you do with a physical form. They bow down to worship, they fall on their face, you know. It says that they're clothed in robes. Spirits don't need robes. You know, not to be light, you know, funny about it, but seriously, they seem to have bodies and to be wearing robes. So there seems to be an indication that we have some kind of physical form that would be recognizable. All right. But that's not something we can point to a scripture and says that, well, until you get your resurrected body, God's going to give you some other physical form. We just have to deduce that from scripture. All right. Yes. Their bodies are raised. They themselves are in heaven, but their bodies are raised. Yeah, here's what I think will happen, okay, because this is just speculation. Some things are not spelled out in Scripture. It just says it's going to happen, okay? What we do know from what we've just studied is that their presence of some sort, probably in some kind of physical, is with the Lord in heaven, but they won't get their resurrected bodies until Jesus comes back, and it says that they will be raised. I think, personally, that they'll come back with him, their bodies will raise, meet together in the air, just as we, if we are alive then, will rise, and in the process of rising, will be changed. You see what I'm saying? It'll all just happen at one time, in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. That'd be my opinion. And, you know, you could have any number of opinions, but there's nothing that the Bible says, well, this is the exactly step-by-step how it's going to work. But, good question. I'll deal with that real quick. I don't want to dig too deeply into it because, but that's a very good question. Why do people have really strong feelings about cremation? Okay. One of them has to do with perhaps a misunderstanding of this whole idea of resurrection. It's like, well, if they're cremated, how can God put their body back together? Well, God can put people's bodies. I mean, people that fall in the ocean and get eaten by fishes, God's going to put their body back together. You know, you decay in the ground, God's going to put your body back together. If you're burned up in creation or a house fire, God can put your body together. So that's not really a reason, although some people give that. One of the main reasons that people hesitate with the whole cremation thing, and I don't come down hard on this, some people do, and that is that in the Bible, when God's people died, they were buried. They weren't cremated. And you see in many cultures, pagan cultures, they burn them. Okay? But that is all by inference. There's nothing in Bible that says if you are cremated that you're not going to go to heaven or it's a sin or anything like that. So I would never tell somebody they shouldn't be, should be, whatever. But those are the reasons why people... Yeah. So, but that is why some people hesitate or have strong feelings, but they don't want to be cremated. Okay? Yes, Norris. That's true. Christians were martyred by being burned. Yes. I don't think that counts as cremation as far as a choice, obviously. Yes. Right. Oh, I see what you're saying, that the Christians were burned at the stake and God's going to resurrect their bodies. So if he could do that, he could do it for somebody that's cremated. I thought you were trying to say something else. Okay, I was just doing. All right. I'll take a couple more questions, but we got to move on with our lesson too. All right, Bert, I think you were next. Oh, okay. Okay. You know, I didn't even think about this, but maybe this whole thing about, you know, hell is being a place of fire and flames. And it's like, well, I don't want to go out that way, you know, whatever. Yes, ma'am. Do you have a question or comment? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's that whole spiritual picture too, and we've talked about that a lot on Sunday mornings in Colossians, that even while we're alive, we die to our old life and we're raised to the new and that kind of thing. But we're talking about our physical bodies here, and so let's go on to number two here, all right? Number two, our heavenly bodies will be like Jesus's resurrected body. Doesn't mean we're going to look like Jesus, but the Bible says that just as Jesus's resurrected body was similar to his physical body here on earth, but yet it was different. Our resurrected bodies will be similar to the bodies we have on earth, but yet it's going to be different. All right. Look at these two scriptures. Philippians 3:20-21. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. So there are many ways in which our resurrected bodies will be like Jesus's resurrected body. And in fact, that's going to give us a little bit of basis for some of the other things we're going to talk about as we go forward tonight. Number three, our heavenly bodies will be physical as well as spiritual. Our heavenly bodies will be physical as well as spiritual. In other words, there's this idea that when we die, you know, our spirits go to be with God. And even though it talks about the resurrection of the body, it's going to be some kind of spiritual body. Well, that to me, that's just a contradiction. You don't have a spiritual body. You have a body. A body is flesh, blood, okay? Spirit is the other part. And you don't just have a spiritual body without the physical body. You see what I'm saying? It's not really a body. But we see that not only from the logical viewpoint, Scripture indicates that we're going to have a physical body. It'll be... And we're going to talk about that. I thought you said a good-looking one. An old-looking one. Okay, that is a question. Is it going to be old? Is it going to be young? Is it going to be good-looking? You know, is it going to be fat, skinny? Is it going to be look like just like we do now? Okay, so anyway, but we will have a physical as well as a spiritual body. Again, we're not going to be angels. We're not going to be ghosts. But how do we know that? Let me give you several things here. Letter A, the concept of resurrection requires a physical body. The Bible talks consistently. We're going to be resurrected. That means that whatever died is coming back. What died was a physical body. It's going to be physical again. All right. And I like this quote. I forget who said it. It says, a non-physical resurrection is like a sunless sunrise. How do you have a sunrise without a sun? It's a contradiction of terms. In the same way, a resurrected body has to have a body. All right. Letter B. The resurrected Jesus had a physical body. In fact, he made it a point to emphasize to his disciples that he had a physical body because they thought he was a ghost. Right? And in Luke 24:39, he says, see my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And he even went one step further to do something else. He had a physical body. Does anybody remember what he did? What did he do, Ray? I saw you pantomime. He ate and he drank. Yeah. He wanted to prove to them that he was not some kind of just spirit or ghost or something like that. It truly was him raised from the dead with a physical body. So it says that our body's going to be like Jesus's. Jesus's resurrected body was a physical body, and so we'll have a physical body. Letter C. God created humans to be physical as well as spiritual. It was way back at the beginning. In fact, he created the physical first. Remember the story? It says he formed the man from the dirt, the dust of the ground, and then he breathed life into him, breathed the spirit, the soul, into him. Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And not only in that passage, but all through the Bible, you see that man is made up of both physical body and spiritual essence. Now, there's a you maybe never thought about this, and I don't want you to stress over it and don't lose any sleep over it, but there's this big theological debate. Is man made of two parts or three parts? You know, body and spirit, or is it body, spirit, and soul? You say, well, the Bible talks about body, spirit, and soul, but there's some say, well, the spirit and the soul are the same thing, and we're not going to get into it. I heard people out there saying what they're, you know, but that is something theologians have discussed, not argued. I'm sure some have argued, but they've discussed for years and years and years. You know, I think sometimes people get so caught up in things that really don't make any difference. You know what I'm saying? We are the way God made us, no matter how you divide us up. All right. But the thing is it's very clear that there is that two different aspects. There is the physical and the non-physical. And it was that way from the beginning. And that's the way God created us. And the whole idea of redemption is putting things back the way they're supposed to be. We've talked about this before in previous lessons. You know, we're not the only ones that are going to be, people are not the only things, whatever, they're going to be redeemed. It says creation is going to be redeemed. God's going to put the earth back the way it was supposed to be. He's going to put the animal kingdom back the way it was supposed to be. And in the same way, if he's going to put human beings back the way they're supposed to be, it's going to be a physical and spiritual thing, not just a spiritual thing. And as we talked, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself here. That's the next point. So let's go on to the next point. Letter D. Physical bodies would make sense for existence in a physical heaven. Now, that sounds funny, a physical heaven, but we studied that, didn't we, a couple weeks ago? All right? That whether heaven is physical now or not, and I think we came to the conclusion that there's a pretty good chance that the heaven is actually a physical place right now, but even if it's not, it will one day be a physical place because it will come to earth. God's manifest presence will be here on earth. All right? And so it makes sense that if there's going to be a physical earth, and that's where heaven is, that we would have physical bodies in that physical earth. And all the descriptions of heaven are we're going in and out of the city and accomplishing things, doing things, you know, with bodies and pictures of bodies. So now there's a number of questions that are raised that we cannot answer from Scripture, some of them anyway. And Margaret pointed out one of them. One of them is, will we need to eat or drink? Do you think that we'll need to eat or drink with our resurrected bodies? Yes. We will need to? I don't think we'll need to, But the Bible indicates that we will. If we don't need to, why will we? Pleasure, because it's so much fun. Yeah. But, you know, that contradicts what the Bible... The Bible says that heaven's not going to be any fun, right? I'm glad you laughed, but, you know, a lot of people feel that way. You know, some people dread the idea of heaven because, like, well, I'm going to leave all my fun behind. We're going to talk about that in weeks to come. What are we going to be doing in heaven? Our life is going to be so much better there than we can even imagine here. But there's a lot of correspondence between what we enjoy here and what we'll enjoy in heaven. And eating is one of those things. We talked about that, the first week, the first lesson. The Bible talks constantly about feasting in heaven, and I think it's deliberate. I think it's one of the reasons why we enjoy it so much here. We enjoy the experience. We enjoy the food. We enjoy the fellowship around the table, and it's going to be the same way in heaven. So will we need to eat and drink? Probably not. But why will we? Because of enjoyment. And the good thing is that we won't have any of the unhealthy side effects. And of course, that raises all kinds of, will we gain weight? I don't think we have to worry about that, you know. Calories and all that kind of stuff. But we will eat in heaven. Yes, Felix? What section of earth? Well, that's a good question. I would assume over in the Middle East. Because that's, no, I'm serious. Because we talked about this last week, or the week before. God chose Jerusalem. David didn't choose Jerusalem. Nobody else chose Jerusalem to be the capital city of God. God did. So it would make sense. Now, it would make sense that that is where the center of God's manifest presence will be. Now, I can't point you to a scripture, but just based on that, I would say that. Yeah, we talked about that last week. You know, we may have a home here and a home there, and, you know, that's a lot of speculation, but it's not out of the question. Okay? So, anyway, we need to go on here. Okay. Another question, will we gain weight? I don't think that'll be an issue. Another question is, will we be male and female in heaven? Yeah, I think so. Because you see, our gender, our masculinity, our femininity is a part of how God created us. And if our resurrected body has a one-to-one correspondence to the body we have now, it's a part of who we are and our identity. We're going to be the same person in heaven. It's not like we're going to be a totally different person. Okay? And so therefore, I believe we will maintain our gender. All right? What were we going to say? And that's another good question. Okay, I'm going to get to that one here. All right. Let me deal with them in order so I don't forget any. Okay, it's on here though. All right, it's the next one. Will we be more beautiful or handsome in heaven? Well, I can't give you an answer of that. The question is, in whose standard? You know, and even in our own culture, it changes. You know, there have been times, and it's not so much today as it used to be, that skinny as a rail was considered beautiful. You know, now it's getting away from that. In other cultures, the bigger you are, the more healthy you're considered, because it means that, hey, you can eat. You've got food to eat, you know. And we laugh, but seriously, in most parts of the world, if you got some fat on your bones, that means you're rich and you're blessed. So if you struggle with that, just know you're rich and you're blessed, okay? So anyway, and you know, different features and such are considered by different cultures, beautiful, handsome, whatever. Again, these are not things that we're trying to draw scriptural things for basis for. We don't know, but just logically speaking, will we have clothes? That's another question. Well, all we know is that when we see people in heaven, they're wearing robes, so they're wearing clothes. All right. Some people say, well, we won't need clothes in heaven because it'll be like the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve didn't have to have clothes. But we do see the glimpses of heaven, people being clothed. All right. Let's move on because we're really running out of time and I don't want to have another half lesson. So number four, and it's going to get to your question, Theo, or one of you guys' questions. I forget which one. Okay. Number four, our heavenly bodies will be recognizable. Recognizable. You know, the question is, will I know my children? Will I know other family members? What will we look like? Well, all I can say is that, you know, some of the examples we've already said, people were recognized. Abraham is recognized as Abraham. Moses and Elijah were recognized as Moses and Elijah. Lazarus was recognized as Lazarus. The rich man, whatever his name was, tradition calls him Dives, was recognized for who he was. And what's really interesting is that disciples recognized Moses and they'd never met him before. That's a whole other question. How did they recognize him? So that's an interesting question. We don't know the answer to it, too. But the question then is, will we be resurrected at the same age that we died? What age will we be in heaven? Now, we don't have a biblical answer. But let me throw out there a couple of ideas that I've read. And that is that some have said, in fact, this is very popular in the Middle Ages, that as you know that when you are born and you get older and you're growing and maturing, that you're getting stronger and stronger, and you get to a certain point where you reach your peak maturity and then you go downhill from there. And I think probably all of us in this room are on the downhill slope, right? So there is the speculation that when we get to heaven, we will probably have our bodies at their peak condition. Even if we didn't have the peak condition here on earth, what the peak condition would be. Because see, that's the good news, is the Bible makes it very clear that all the things that sin caused, even in our physical bodies, will be gone. Every infirmity, even infirmities you might have been born with or developed along the way, any kind of handicaps, they will be gone. In fact, there is a scripture for that in Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, talking about our eternal life. It says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Basically indicating that whatever limitations, physical limitations that weren't meant to be a part of the human experience, but we had them anyway, through birth defects, sin, whatever, that they will be gone. They will be gone. And the ones we've developed along the way, because we're just getting older and falling apart, they will be gone. But it's like, what we look like, there's a lot of theories and stuff, interesting stuff that we don't know for sure. There have been some that have speculated, you know, will I look the same age as my kids and my parents? There are some that have speculated that, you know, because we'll have relationships, we'll talk about relationships later, that perhaps when we get to heaven, that those that we related to who are older than us in this life, that they will seem older to us, and we will seem younger to them, and those that were younger than us would seem younger to us, and we'd seem older to them, but yet still be at that peak, you know, physical condition. It's all speculation. But anyway, the other question is, will we age in heaven? I don't think so, because the aging process usually is a process that becomes a deterioration and a decay, so probably not. Let's deal with the last two. They're a lot shorter here. Number five, our heavenly bodies will be imperishable. Imperishable. We will not read 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 49, but that's what that whole passage is about. But before we go on, what does imperishable mean? It won't perish. It won't die. It won't disintegrate. It won't fall apart. You know, in other words, it will be in a perfect state, physically speaking. Whatever that means, whatever that is, whatever God determines that is for us, it will be in its perfect state forever. It will not perish. It will not get sick. It will not die. And then number six is a possibility. Our heavenly bodies may have supernatural abilities. Now, when I say supernatural abilities, I mean supernatural according to this life. When we get there, we may not even think of it as supernatural abilities. It's just, you know, we got the perfect bodies and the perfect environment. Why would we say that? Because of Jesus' resurrected body. It says that our bodies would be like his, and he had what we would consider supernatural abilities. You know, when the disciples were locked in the upper room, he just appeared. Okay? They didn't open the door. He disappeared. He ascended physically into heaven. Now, that could also be explained that, well, he's not only man, but he's God. And that was part of his God thing. So that could be. But it does seem to, I shouldn't say it seems to indicate, but that does open the possibility that we may have supernatural abilities. But even if we don't have supernatural abilities, I believe that every sense that we have, and we may even have senses then that we don't have now, will be at their sharpest. Our sense of smell, our sight, our hearing will be at their most optimum, you know? And so we may have what is supernatural abilities, what may seem to be supernatural abilities if we knew about them now. So whether we have supernatural abilities or not, all of our natural abilities and senses will operate at full capacity to the extent that they might seem supernaturally to our current understanding. Let me read this quote and then we need to finish up. Our time is over here. What we will experience in heaven will largely be an outgrowth of earth. The two are not disconnected. It's not a new and separate reality as much as an extension of the old reality. My mind is the same mind, only sharper. My soul is the same soul, only completely pure. My skills are the same skills, but less hindered in their expression. Yes, God will change us in heaven. Aren't you glad? But he will never obliterate or replace us. Aren't you glad for that too? We will still be us, but a better us than we can possibly imagine. So we will be perfected. Amen. Well, next week we'll pick this up and we'll talk about some of the things we do in heaven, in particular worship and work. All right. After that, we get the fun and fellowship, but let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together to discuss your word. And God, a lot of what we talked about tonight, the most important, it's a sure thing as far as your word's concerned. I thank you, Lord, that your word makes it very clear that when we leave this earth, we are with you. And that one day we'll have a resurrected body that will be perfect. No more sickness, pain, handicap, limitation, sorrow, death. Father, thank you. Some of the stuff's a little speculative, but Lord, I have a feeling that whatever you have planned for us is going to be so much better than we could even imagine. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we get to go be with you. But Father, I pray that you would, as we always have been praying, Lord, that you would help us to live this life in anticipation of the glorious life that you have prepared for us, that we wouldn't fear it, even though we might be concerned about how we're going to get there. But also, Lord God, that we would live this life in such a way that we prepare ourselves as best possible for there and to make the most and best investments for our life there. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for all that you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online at www.marionoaksag.org. If you would like to help support this ministry, please mail your donations to Marion Oaks Assembly of God at the address listed on our website.